Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and alongside Golfer Gal, we have a great show for you this week. I'm going to bring her on to give you a rundown of everything we're going to talk about, but first, I'm going to mention that later on in the show, we have one of the greatest club makers in the history of golf on to answer questions that our forum members submitted. His name is John Hoflick, and his resume backs up everything that he's ever talked about and designed. I want to introduce Golfer Gal this week, and she can tell you what else we're going to talk about.
Hey, everybody. It's Golfer Gal, and JB is correct. The interview with John is probably going to be the highlight because he's just an incredible man, amazing. He has so much insight. But first, we're going to talk about what's in our bag because this is a question that we get asked every single day. People want to know what's in our bag, if we've changed anything, and why we've changed it.
You're exactly right. I would say not a day goes by that I don't get an email asking, why did you put this in your bag? Why did you take this out? And so on and so forth. So we're just going to give you a kind of a quick rundown of the changes we've made and why we've made them.
And you've made more changes than I have, so why don't you start?
Okay. The driver, I have not changed. I've been playing the same driver for going on almost 18 months now.
I can't believe that, by the way.
I did change the shafts to a Miyazaki shaft because for my game, I believe it's the best driver shaft on the planet. It's changed the way I hit the ball, and I love it. Fairway woods and hybrids, I'm tinkering with because I'm currently reviewing a lot of different products, and I don't want to make a major change yet.
I'll be interested to see if you do change your hybrids because you've been playing those for a while too.
I've been playing my hybrids for close to a year now. Mm-hmm. I have changed irons. I went from the TaylorMade R9 irons, which, by the way, I absolutely love. But I put the Nike Mach Speed irons in my bag. And the reason being is I have no idea. Mm-hmm. They just give you that little something extra that we can't put our finger on. I mean, certainly they're extremely forgiving. They have the perfect ball flight for me. They feel good. Did I mention they were forgiving?
I think you might have said that.
You know, my striking ability is not perfect like the tour pros, so when I miss, I like to know it's still going to go straight, and these do. But they just have that little something extra that's changed things for me, and they're firmly planted in my bag, and I absolutely love them. And to go one step further is when I first saw them, I didn't like the look of them.
Yeah, I know that you thought that they were just a little bit busy, as I think some people also said when we posted them on the forum. But when you really get a chance to look at them in person and actually set up to them and play, I think it has a completely different feel and look to it.
You're exactly right. I actually really like the look of them at this point. I've also changed my wedges, and I went to the CG15 wedges because for me, they're the best wedges I've ever played.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think that's the best change that you've made, and it's the most improvement I've seen in your game.
You're exactly right. I haven't really changed setup so much as far as the makeup of the wedges in my bag, but the CG15s have feel, performance, sound, performance, spin, performance. They get the job done for me.
I'm really glad, by the way, that you haven't changed the setup because that was a nightmare watching you try and figure out which degree wedges you wanted to put in your bag.
Everything I do with equipment's pretty much a nightmare. I've also changed putters, and for most of the people on THP and Golfer Gal as well, they know that I've done that a lot. I've changed putters close to 30 times over the last 12 months.
That sounds about right, yeah.
And while at the PGA show in January, I came across a putter from Seymour that I just fell in love with. It was like the M1 with the back cut off a little bit, and it had a different face. And the company was nice enough to send one down for review, and since the day I've got it in my hands, I put it in my bag. It is feel, it has the RST, which I love, meaning the red dot, and everything else. It's actually just permanently in my bag.
I actually don't think I've ever seen you so excited about a putter before as I have seen you with this one.
Yeah, it's came down to the fact that I actually made more putts, and that's a rarity, but it seems to work perfectly. Now, you've made a couple of major changes as well, and to be perfectly honest, you haven't changed anything for over a year. So
no.
The changes were kind of sudden.
Yeah, I haven't changed anything for over a year. For me, I'm not into changing things because if it's working for me, I want to stick with it. But there are two things that I have changed, which have been a huge improvement for my game. The first one would be my putter as well. I switched to the Seymour M6.
For those who have listened to us or followed the THP forum know, she's constantly made fun of me for my way I look at putters in an enamored kind of look.
I just said,
and the day this one arrived, she said, oh, I get it. I see how you look at them now.
Well, no. What I said was boys and their putters. I don't quite understand it. I know women and their purses and their shoes and men their watches, but I've never seen men and putters. It's ridiculous the way that you guys just I don't even know.
And yet when the M6 showed up and you saw it, you're like, look, it's sexy and pretty. Those were your words, not mine.
It is. There's something about it. You know, I used to be a mallet person. I used to love the mallet putter, but this one is slim and it's sleek and it's just, it's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous.
For those that haven't seen the M6, you can log into the THP forum and take a look. It actually is semi-old bullseye-like. The old classic bullseye putter. You can actually play it right or left-handed, and she is just nuts about it.
I think that's the part that fascinates me more than anything, the fact that you can putt right or left-handed from it. Not that I could ever putt. I can't putt right-handed, let alone try to do left-handed, but the fact that you can is just amazing to me.
Very true, and now you've also changed irons.
I did. I changed irons. I am currently playing the Lady Moxbeat irons, the Nike Moxbeat irons, and you know, the biggest reason for me was that they're really forgiving. They're incredibly forgiving, and I picked up a lot of distance from them, a lot more distance than I expected to. There's also a sound to it. There's something about when I strike the ball solid with these irons, more than any other iron that I've hit, it just has this beautiful sound, and it's reassuring to me. It lets me know that, okay, I really did hit a good shot. The other thing that I really like about it, and this is purely an aesthetic thing, I really, really like the shafts. I think that they're just they're pretty. They're a white shaft, and there's just something about it when I look at it that just gives me confidence. And, you know, that kind of brings us into the next part of the show, which is, you know, I don't really understand anything about shafts, besides the fact that, like I said, I think that it's pretty. And I think the Miyazaki shaft that JB has in his driver is also really pretty. But in the upcoming THP magazine for the spring issue, we actually have an expert who comes on and tells us all sorts of great information about shafts.
You're exactly right. We have somebody from the shaft world, I'll say, who we interviewed for the magazine, and the purpose was to let's get to the bottom of it once and for all of letting people understand shafts in general. And I think he does a good job of that. I was educated just talking to him and conducting the interview. And I think a lot of people who struggle with the buzzwords and shafts and
like torque and kick point, I never knew what that was.
Exactly. They'll all understand everything much, much easier. And it'll probably open the doors for other questions. And then we'll have some people on the radio on here to answer those questions as well. But why don't you give people a rundown of what's in the magazine so they can kind of judge if it's something for them or not?
Okay, here's sort of our table.
And we hope it is, by the way.
Here's our table of contents, so to speak. One of the things that we're going to talk about is the driver shootout, and it's kind of going to be a more detailed description, breaking down which drivers were chosen and kind of breaking it down by handicap group. We also have 18 holes with Jim Furyk, who, as we all know, just won transitions. So we believe that we are his good luck charm. We also have an interview with John Hoflick, which we'll talk about a little bit at the end of this show as well. We have the Shaft Expert article that we mentioned. And we have a PGA show coverage and the people who were behind it. So they've had an 8-10 page spread, lots of pictures, lots of great things to look at.
I think you're going to really like that because, granted, you've seen our coverage on the show on the website. However, this is something a little different. While there's still some great images and things like that, you're going to get to meet the people who are behind the show and what makes them tick and what makes this show go.
Right, exactly, and kind of explain, you know, how this whole thing is put together. And there's so much more to it than I think even we knew going into it originally. We also have the tool shed, which we're talking about drivers this time. We have I think it's another 8-page spread on footwear. We're going to talk about the award winners for the 2009 THP Awards. We have our Masters preview, and we also have a section called Product Showcase, and for that we're going to be talking about the Nike Method putter and the TaylorMade Pentaballs. We have our Diamond in the Rough section with Seymour putters, and then for the ladies, we have a ladies bottom spread as well as talking about ladies golf bags, and then finishing up with ladies equipment where we're going to be showcasing the Adams A7OS set.
The entire issue is just full of information, but it's done in a way that, you know, not to toot our own horn because, frankly, we're not capable of doing it. Our graphic designer deserves most of the credit.
A lot of the credit.
When you see the articles and the style that goes into this, I think everybody's going to really like it. At least that's our hope anyway. Going from that, you know, talking about the magazine and everything else, and you mentioned the Masters preview. The Masters is a few weeks away.
Yes, it is. I'm very excited about that.
And we have a contest on the website right now where people can win a Bridgestone J38 driver as well as a fairway wood or a wedge, depending on if they finish first, second, or third.
Yeah, just incredible prizes.
That's right. You make your picks, you submit it, and that's it. You root for your guys. But I don't think we should make our picks yet.
No, and even if we did make our picks, I wouldn't base your pick off of ours, or at least not off of mine, because as we all know, I am not a good luck charm.
No, we saw those picks of yours at Doral, and I think
yes.
Poor Rory McIlroy is still trying to find his game ever since you cursed him.
I know.
Good news is our THP the Magazine is a good luck charm, evidently, like you said. Switching gears a little bit, you know, we've mentioned the magazine, and you mentioned that we have an interview with John Hoflick in there. And again, for those that don't know the name, you will by the end of this segment. John's going to come on in a couple minutes and join us, and he can tell you, he's going to answer some questions, but I'm going to let him kind of go over how he got into golf. But there's an interview with him in the magazine that's a lot more detailed, a lot more information. This is just something to kind of introduce you to a guy that you may not know that has one of the best backgrounds in all of golf.
His resume is just fantastic.
And he's one of those guys that you just root for because he's just one of the nicest guys in the industry.
Yeah, he is. I keep saying he just has this this sort of charisma about him. He's a wonderful guy.
And let's not mention or forget to mention the fact that, you know, he's created the Tommy Armour 845s, the Titleist DCIs, the TaylorMade Rack, was involved in creating the first hybrid, Nakent 4DX, the interchangeable shafts. I mean, the guy has been involved with just about everything.
He's a club-making genius.
So we want to thank the forum members who supplied some questions for us. And if your question gets used, you will get some recognition coming up.
Yep.
And we want to welcome John to the radio show.
Nice to be here, Morgan. Josh?
Always nice to have you.
Absolutely.
We wanted to jump right in, and what we did is we asked some people on the THP forum to bring in some questions, and then obviously we had some of our own, but a lot of our listeners haven't heard your resume, and both Setho and the Gas Man on our forum really wanted to know how this all started for you.
Well, I've been in the golf business for almost 40 years, and before that I was an English teacher for 3 years, which didn't necessarily qualify me to sell golf balls for Maxfly, but that's how it all got started. And I've worked for a variety of some of the greatest companies in the world, TaylorMade, Titleist, Head Golf when they were in business, Tommy Armour Golf, and it's just been a great ride, as I say, for almost 40 years, designing clubs and being around the game.
The next question that we have kind of goes with this, and this one came from the Dew on our forum. And he said, in general designing, do you start from scratch or do you redesign something that you've seen in existence?
Well, the first club that I ever designed, which was the Tommy Armour 845 iron, it obviously was developed from scratch because I had never designed a golf club before. But, you know, over the last 20 years, a lot of my designs have been evolutions of previous designs, but, you know, I'm the kind of guy, when I sit down to dinner about three bites into the meal, I've changed the spices and the preparation and everything else. So, you know, when you're halfway through a club design, you know, you're thinking about how you can do it different. So you don't really develop them from scratch once you've designed the first one.
In the spring issue of the magazine that comes out next week, we have a full interview with you, and one of the things that I always found kind of funny was talking to you about fittings that you've done over the years and things like that, and you tell us a funny story about somebody when you were at TaylorMade that came in to do a fitting that I was hoping you could share with the listeners.
Yeah, it was a fellow that I really met through a friend of mine who was a golf professional out on the East Coast, and he really wanted to get fit, and so he flew out on his private jet, you know, to spend the day with us getting fit. And gosh, I guess the fitting took 5 or 6 hours, and I think we got him what he needed to make him a better player, lower his scores, and everything else. And he was, I think, pretty comfortable with that. But as he was leaving, he said, "You know, as I was flying out on the plane last night, I was thinking that I wanted to get this and this and this and this." And it turned out to be something that was completely, totally different from what we had fit him for, but that was what he was convinced that he needed. So he ordered both sets of clubs, probably $6,000 worth of product, jumped back on his jet and flew home. And I never did find out exactly which set he wound up playing, but I suspect it was the one that he had created in his mind, not the one that he had gotten fit for.
That's so funny.
Yes, it is. And unfortunately, you know, I think a lot of players are like that. You know, the only way to really get the best set of clubs is to get fit in a launch monitor, you know, by a competent club fitter. But, you know, when you get done with that process, I think a lot of us still have in the back of our mind that, you know, we know better than, you know, than the fitter, and are tempted, you know, a week or two later to go out and buy another driver. So that's what keeps, you know, the big guys, Titleist, TaylorMade, Bobra, Callaway, all, you know, in business, is the guy that knows better than the fitter, but they don't.
I can only imagine when dealing with tour players how many funny stories you have. Can you tell us one of the funniest moments that you've had when dealing with a tour player and helping them find clubs?
Well,
and you don't have to use names if you don't want to.
Sure, and I certainly not going to do that. But there was a player years ago who called up one Thursday morning in a panic. And or actually, it was on a Wednesday morning. It was in the Pro-Am, after the Pro-Am. And he just was in a panic, and he had to get a set of clubs, you know, that were a half an inch longer. And you know, this particular player had been playing with these, you know, one set of clubs for a long time. And so we were curious why he would want a set suddenly that was half an inch longer. But, you know, you do what the player asks. And so we made a mad scramble, went out to the tour department, made up a set of clubs that were half an inch longer. We were getting ready to put them in the box and ship them out that afternoon. And the player calls back, and he said, never mind. And, of course, you know, we were curious why never mind. And so he said, you know, what's up? And he said, well, you know, I was hitting balls this morning, you know, practicing, going out to play, and I was hitting everything off the toe of the club. And in my, my pro-am round, I was hitting everything off the toe of the club. So I came back in and had some lunch and went back out to the range, and I changed my shoes, and I was hitting it solid again. He said, and that's when I realized that I had changed shoe endorsements, and I had worn saddle shoes with round toes all of my life. And suddenly this new pair of shoes that I was wearing had a pointier toe, and I must have moved about a half an inch further away from the ball.
You're kidding.
No, and I wound up hitting it off the toe. So after lunch, because the shoes had made my feet a little tender, I went back to a rounder toe shoe, and I started hitting it solid again. So, I mean, that shows you how sensitive, you know, players are to equipment changes and everything else, but also sometimes how silly this whole thing can get.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that could be a problem for somebody like me when I have over 20 pairs of golf shoes.
Well, yeah.
Right, exactly. So, so get, you know, get locked in on a round toe or a pointed toe, Josh.
I'll work on that. In the past, and in your, you know, growing through this industry, companies always had release cycles that were 12 months or every 24 months, and they would release their irons and drivers at that time. But over the last few years, you know, companies are putting out clubs every 6 to 8 weeks, it seems. Why does that help or hurt a golfer, and is there some way that they should avoid it or stick with it, or what should they do?
Well, as a product development person, I am always looking for a product that's going to last, like an 845 or a Ping Ans or putter or, you know, Scotty Cameron Newport, something like that. The Callaway Big Bertha driver, where, you know, the product will last 3 or 4 years in the market. But, you know, today there's so much pressure from, you know, all of the companies because they're publicly traded now, you know, to improve quarterly results. So the temptation is to, you know, launch product every 6 weeks or every 6 months. And the problem with that for the company is that golfers tend to buy a new driver about every 18 months and a new set of irons about every 2 or 3 years. And when you're releasing product, new product every 6 months as a company, you know, you miss a golfer's change of product. So you could have three generations of drivers in the market before, you know, Josh, you know, you're ready to buy a new driver. So you may have missed two or three of TaylorMade's drivers. The other problem for the golfer is that if you buy a driver today and 6 weeks from now or 6 months from now, one of the big companies launches a new driver that potentially could be the perfect driver for you, you're not ready to buy a new driver. So you may miss that opportunity to get that perfect driver. So that's why I always encourage golfers to, you know, go to demo days and hit, you know, the new product at every opportunity, because you don't want to miss that perfect driver. You know, that driver that's going to straighten your slice or...
I'm still looking for it.
Exactly. So, you know, keep trying and keep looking. You know, turnover of the product cycle sometimes I think can be frustrating for everybody.
Speaking of drivers and putters, what is your favorite club to design and why? And this question came from Roger via email.
Well, my least favorite club to design is a putter, because I've never made one that I could make any putts with. So, that's very frustrating to me. Truthfully, my favorite club to design is the driver, because there are so many variables that you have to work with in terms of the launch and the spin and, you know, left to right. And now we have the interchangeable hosels, which are an added dimension. But even beyond that, getting the driver to give a player great performance and yet make a driver that's perfect in the address position so that you feel comfortable that you can drive it, you know, 230, 240, 270, you know, 320 down the fairway. It's an unbelievable challenge to get all of that right. And as most of, you know, your listeners probably know, finding a great driver is a challenge, put it that way. So to get the driver right, to me, is the most fun.
You know, I think for me, when I'm testing out clubs, when I was looking for a new set for my, you know, a new bag, the thing that I tested out the most was drivers. I think I spent like 3 weeks testing out drivers before I finally picked something.
I still haven't picked something.
Well, you know, I have a couple of favorite drivers, you know, that I have a line of bags out in my garage where I store all of my clubs, and I've got two or three out there that, you know, are just ones that I always feel comfortable with. But, you know, I'm never afraid to try something new. But
what are those?
There are a couple of 4DX drivers with the interchangeable hosel. And the thing that I like about them is that they always look good in the address position. But when I get to the range and I start hitting balls and I'm hitting it a little left, I can take out that wrench and open the face just a little bit and get it back going straight, or, you know, vice versa. If I'm hitting the little right, I can adjust it before I tee off and, you know, straighten it out and knock it down the fairway. But no matter what face angle I've got on them, they look good in the address position.
What the big question that so many people asked, and I'll use J-Man from our forum and use his, is, what are you working on now, and what plans do you have for the future?
Well, at the moment, I'm working on projects around the house that my wife has created for me.
The honey-do list?
Yeah, I'm on the honey-do list. And
welcome to my world, John.
But, you know, the golf industry has gone through a very painful period the last 18 months, and the Kent Golf essentially went out of business back in December. So since then, I've been working on my skiing and the a honeydew list and a few other things. But sometime here, hopefully in the next couple of months, some of the projects that I've been considering that are not necessarily related to, you know, specifically to designing golf clubs, you know, are going to keep me even busier. But, you know, I've got some tooling set aside for a couple of new models of drivers and fairways and irons that might see the light of day sometime in 2011. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, we always look forward to hearing about those and having you on. And, you know, we want to thank you for answering some questions for some of our listeners, as well as answering and doing the full interview for the magazine that will be out next week.
Yeah.
Hey, my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
It was really great to have John on the show this week. And, you know, we hope to have him back quite a bit.
Oh, definitely. He's so much fun to talk to, and he just has so much information to share with everybody. And if you want to read more or learn more about John, you can check him out and in our magazine, the spring issue, which will be available starting April 1st. But you can do pre-order right now on our website at thehackersparadise.com, which is www.thehackersparadise.com.
That is right. We do have a full interview with him as well as everything else we've gone through. I'm not going to rehash that. We hope you guys enjoyed the show this week, kind of a mixed bag of shows. We talked about our bag, we talked about the magazine, the contest, and of course the interview, which, you know, John's always much better at being a highlight than we are. And, you know, we don't think we're going to be canceled quite yet. You don't think so, do you?
I sure hope not. I think that my nerves are finally starting to go away, and I'm starting to sound a little bit better, I hope.
Yeah, so let us know if we're canceled. Let us know in the forum.
Yeah, let us know what's in your bag, too.
That's exactly right. The question this week is, what is in your bag? We have the photo section on the website, but tell us about the changes you've made and or what you have coming out soon or what you're trying out.
And we'll keep you posted as things change in our bag as well.
That's right. From all of us playing from the rough, we hope you're keeping it in the fairway.